the Chicago Endurance Sports Training Podcast. In this podcast edition, we bring you our Coach's Corner that will cover specific topics that fit into different phases of our training season. In this edition of the Coach's Corner, we are chatting specifically about our frequently asked questions that we get from participants in the first 2 weeks of summer training. We will first start off with a warm-up with our coaches that are here. My name is Coach Lori McGee Cook. I'm the head coach of Chicago Endurance Sports and the lead coach out of the Old Town location. I am with...
I'm Cindy Kamak, and I am the lead coach out of Lincoln Square.
We are excited to do this podcast with you today. And again, like I said, we're going to start off with our warm-up and hear who the coaches are. So with our warm-up, we would like to just kind of talk about a little bit about what Cynthia and I have been doing for training over the past week. Cynthia, would you like to kind of start off with a struggle you've had and some successes?
Yeah, a struggle that I had this past week is I like to alternate between a couple of different shoes, and I had found by tracking my shoes on Strava that the miles that I was getting into for my shoes were hitting pretty high. So I had to decide what I was going to do, and luckily, the Lincoln Square Fleet Feet had opened up just this week, so I called them up. I knew exactly what shoe I wanted, and it was at the Old Town Lincoln Square, so they sent it over to... It was at the Old Town Fleet Feet, so they sent it over to the Lincoln Square Fleet Feet. I ran down there, picked up my new shoes, and proceeded to donate my old shoes just a block away and ran home in my new shoes. So that was a struggle with having shoes that had far too many miles on them, and a strength because I got to finish my run in some great new shoes. What about you, Coach Lori? What was a struggle or a strength you're having this week?
One of the struggles and turned into a strength that I have this week is I did leave the city of Chicago for the first time in a long time, went up to Lake Geneva to be with some family. And I found, I could go out for a nice run in my double jogger, which is kind of what I talked about last time. But it was super hilly, and I haven't ran hills in a very, very long time. So I really struggled with the run with a double jogger with these giant hills. However, they were awesome workouts that I haven't been able to get in quite a while. So it was just kind of starting off with that hill training, getting something that is a little bit stronger of a run in.
Oh, that's excellent. Man, I envy you being able to do hills. I love running hills, even if I think about expletives on my way up a hill. When I run down the hill, it's like eating a whole cake.
You talked about the running shoe.
Yeah.
What is your go-to running shoe?
Well, Lori, I am somebody who usually has two pairs of running shoes that I'm running in at a certain time. Because we do different kinds of running, I like to have two pairs of shoes in rotation. So I usually have a shoe that I use for my speed work and faster runs. And my go-to running shoe for that is the New Balance Minimus. It is, for any of you out there who read the book Born to Run, it has the Vibram sole. It is very much like barefoot running, but it's a New Balance shoe, so it's designed for trail running, but it really strengthens your foot. If you're not used to minimalist running, I wouldn't put these shoes on and then go run 10 miles because you're going to hurt yourself. But those are my favorite like speed work shoe. And then I do love the Ultra Escalantes, which is just a touch of cushion. And it's delightful. And it's great for longer mileage. And if I'm just keeping a nice consistent pace. Yeah, it's like running on clouds for me, which is still a minimal shoe for those of you who look it up and you're like, Cynthia, geez, it's like you have five socks on and that's how you're running. I've been running with minimal shoes for 12 years, so my feet have the strength for it. But yeah, I consider the Ultra Escalante my cushy shoe. So yeah, those are my two faves right now, but they often... They can change every year. What about you, Lori? What's your go-to shoe?
No, I've over the years, I've ran in several different shoes. A good neutral Nike shoe used to be my go-to. But over time, I've had a tendency to develop just symptoms of plantar fasciitis. But what has sort of completely eliminated that is settling into the Hoka shoe. So Hoka Bondi is my go-to. It's nice and cushy for me. For some people, it's a lot of shoe. So it takes that in itself takes a little bit of getting used to. However,
it's your shoe.
It's my shoe. No, yeah. I love the shoe. I do love the cushioning in the shoe. And I realized, again, it eliminated the type of symptoms that I would get, especially when I get into phases where I'm in higher mileage. But now it is really completely eliminated. And I think it's become a more popular shoe as well, which is kind of what's leading to the workout or run portion of this, which is talking specifically about the topic. But on that topic, one of the number one questions we get in the beginning of the season, especially as people are sort of gearing up and getting ready to start training, is which shoe is the best running shoe?
And boy, what a question. I'm going to move away from the ants for this podcast and we're going to move on to snowflakes. All right. Everybody is like their own different snowflake. All right. So we all have six different sides. Well, we have more than six sides to us, but shoes are, there's so many different kinds because there are so many different types of people. So like you, Coach Lori, love the Hoka. Now, if I were to wear a Hoka, for me, that would be like running in a high heel shoe, which would probably be fun for people to watch, but would not be fun for me to run in. So yeah. And like we both said, our go-to shoe has changed throughout our running life. So it really depends on who you are, why you're running, what you're running, and all of that. What do you think, Coach Lori?
Well, I think one of the reasons why the shoe for me changed too is just my body has changed throughout time. It's very different than when I was running in my 20s and now, you know, being in my 40s. But what changed my foot a lot was having children. The structure of them changed. So my feet actually got bigger. But just the different, the way it is, my feet are a little bit flatter now too. And so my body adapted to this Hoka shoe, which worked really well for me. Other people cannot wear shoes that have a lot of stability or structure to them. It just doesn't work with their running style and their running form. But that's why so many shoes exist. So you can't really say which running shoe is the best running shoe. This is why we have our fit specialists at Fleet Feet, so they can help you navigate the different products that are out there that will help somebody get into the right piece of equipment, being the shoe.
Absolutely. And the more you run, like for me, when from the time I started running to where I'm at now, my feet have gotten bigger because the muscles in my feet have gotten bigger. So I've had to adapt as well and change what kind of shoe I fit in. Because when I first started running, I was like, oh man, I found this great shoe. It was an ASIC. And I bought like three pairs when they went on sale. And that it didn't turn out benefiting me because as I was building endurance and building those muscles, my foot changed, my body changed. I slimmed down quite a bit. So I didn't need that type of shoe anymore. And there I was with two pairs of shoes in the closet. What was I going to do? I continued to wear them and then eventually injure myself. So don't do that. But know that how the best running shoe is different for everybody, but it will also change for you as you change throughout your running. Another question and questions that we've seen on the Facebook page is, which watch is the best watch? Well, which one is it?
Well, it just depends on what you need, too. There's a different brands out there. A lot of people hear most popular one that people talk about a lot is the Garmin. There's also Timex watches out there that fit just exactly what people need. It just depends on how much of the metrics that you actually want for yourself. There's different, like we say, we just talk specifically about the Garmin. The Garmin has watches where it's very simple. It's just recording the amount of time, maybe just simple mileage, to other watches that are going to give you several more physiological pieces of data that can kind of take you down. Sometimes I feel a lot of rabbit holes of really breaking down your training and understanding that, but it's great. There, you know, if you really do learn what all those metrics do mean, you can find out a lot of interesting things about your running. But for somebody who's just starting out with endurance running or maybe running their first time marathon, the simplest things you might need is just the time, the amount of mileage that you're doing. And then if you're in the run walk program, it's super helpful to have a watch that will actually do intervals for you. You don't need a super fancy smartwatch to actually do intervals. There's certain Timexes out there that will program it in. So some people, if you don't want something that complex, there's a lot of really good devices out there that will do the simple, again, metrics that you need for your workout.
Yeah. And there's so many different types of watches that do so many different things. Some hold music, some hold podcasts. Perhaps you're listening to this podcast while on a run through a music watch. For me, I didn't even start running with a watch until I paced for CES. So there were 5 solid years of me running, no timing device at all. And when I had to get a watch, I got myself a Timex watch because it had a timer on it. And of course, I had the Lakefront Path, which had mile markers. So I was like, that's how I know I'm running the correct pace. And it kept me good at math. But also those Timex watches do those intervals as well. But yeah, don't feel like you have to get something fancy. The watch that you want should meet what your needs are. And remember, you can always upgrade, just like with your shoe. Another question that people will ask us is, how do I drink water on the run? How do I do that without an aid station out there? Well, bring your own water. And there are so many different things for you to choose from at Fleet Feet. There's hydration belts that you can try. There's handhelds that you can try. And yeah, I've run with a belt before. For me, the water bottles moved around quite a bit because I'm basically a bunch of sticks in a running short and running shorts and sports bra. So the water bottles would clank around on my hips a little bit, but for some people it's very comfortable. I hold my water bottle, which I don't mind. After the first couple of miles, I can't feel it anyway. But what are your thoughts on that, Coach Lori?
Yeah, so there's definitely tools that you can wear around your waist. And what's nice about those is you can have multiple bottles with you, so you can get the good combination of water and then some sort of electrolyte drink that you might need. Also, those will hold any sort of blocks or gels or any sort of nutrition that you need, and will hold your cell phone as well and keys. So what's nice about the belt is you can hold multiple items with you. Some people really just don't like the feel of the belt around their body. They have gotten better with the way they've designed those for people. Amphipod has a lot of really nice designs for the hydration belt, but a lot of people do really just like the handheld. Simple. There's a lot of different ones that'll hold different sizes of cell phones. You can still get your keys in there. You can get a nutrition piece in them too. They come in various sizes as well. So sometimes just, even if you're just doing a shorter run, you have enough hydration for you for a good 45 minutes to an hour. But the limiting factor on the handheld is that you can't have two different types of hydration with you, which would be like the water and the electrolyte drink. You just have to kind of decide what your preference is and sort of practice with what types of hydration that you'll find more important to have in there for your workout. But I would encourage you guys to check out the Amphipod pieces. Again, it comes in so many different sizes. For some people, they're going to need a larger size just because they have a different sweat rate than another person. So they might be losing fluid through sweat a lot faster than another person. So again, this is just another very individualized preference type of thing, and very individualized what your body is actually going to need, especially during summer training. However, I do suggest everybody gets a hydration piece for their training, because everybody's going to need to hydrate, especially on their long runs. Mm-hmm. If you dehydrate really fast and you don't have a hydration piece on you, and I don't think there would be any water fountains on anytime soon, you're going to poop out really fast on your long run or even just a 45-minute run.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, Yes. Well, that it does definitely affect your, it'll give you digestive issues too if you dehydrate really fast and you're not replenishing your body with the water and electrolytes that it needs.
Absolutely. And there's tips and tricks that we can teach you throughout the training season. I know we've already hit like record high temperatures for June, but all of those, I throw my Amphipod, I fill it half with water, throw it in the freezer the night before I go out for a run, and that's super helpful. So you all got email sent out to you, and you got a PDF form of your schedule, and then you also got a link for Training Peaks. But Training Peaks, how do I do that? That seems so, like, so much work. Lori, help.
You're going to want that Training Peaks piece, especially right now since we can't, like, meet in person. So the Training Peaks option is nice for a number of reasons. One, it is going to tell you the detailed description of the workout that we prescribed. Your PDF that you received as an attachment on that email is not going to give you those details. You have to log into Training Peaks and upload that Training Peaks plan that was provided as a link in that email to get the workout details. And also, you can upload and log your workouts in based on a different smartwatch that you might have. You can set it up so you can automatically upload the workout in there, and then you can keep yourself, you can
hold yourself accountable.
Not only you can hold yourself accountable, but also it's really nice to keep a training log, because we will encourage you guys, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks to kind of go back and review that training log to make sure that you are keeping your workouts consistent, just sort of evaluating how those workouts are going for you. And you can kind of do an evaluation too of, you know, which workouts are better? Do you notice that you run better in the morning or in the evening? But having that training log right in front of you, that visual, will give you a lot of answers to a lot of questions and how you can sort of tweak your training throughout the summer to understand days that you're performing really, really well and other days that you might struggle a little bit. So you can kind of help yourself make those changes necessary so the training experience is just that much better.
Yeah, I really like how when you get the workout done, it turns green. And then if you didn't do the workout correctly, it turns red. So if you're motivated by colors and charts, get that Training Peaks.
But we highly encourage everybody to go on and do that. And if you're having trouble with it, in the email, there are links to videos and giving you a little bit more instruction how to make sure that you can connect that training app so you can get started with it.
Yeah. And when you have gotten your email with the Training Peaks link and that PDF, you might be like, blue schedule? Why do I have a blue schedule? Why do I have yellow? Why do I have green? Lori, why?
So it goes back to filling out that participant fax form. You got to fill out that fax form. We get, you know, ask you a number of questions, and we use that information to make the recommendation of which color training program that you are in. There's a number of things that we look at. We look at the recent mileage that you've been running. We might look at the training pace that you're actually working with at the moment. We might look at if you have recent injuries or just certain training goals. Like what are you really training for? So that will also, you know, we take that into consideration of what we would recommend. So that's what the colors are. And, you know, so the questions that we get after you get your training schedule is, well, you know, I am actually running more mileage than what this training schedule says.
Yeah. And if you are doing that, or if you have that question, is it okay to be running more than my schedule has on it? One thing I would ask you, why are you running that mileage? Why are you running 8 miles one day rather than 5 miles? Is it because you're using running as a stress reliever? Is it because, oh, I want to get to be number one on that CES summer training leaderboard on Strava? What is your reasoning for doing all of that mileage? And once you've answered that question, is if it is because you are using it as a stress reliever, notice that about yourself. Take note that you are stressed out and that you are running more because of it. We built these training schedules not just willy. We didn't like play bingo and we're like, oh, 7 miles on Friday. Do we have a Friday? Great. Oh, 3 miles on a Tuesday. We actually know what we're doing a little bit. So your training schedule is built so that you can build up that mileage slowly and safely. If you are running a lot of miles right now, you have a higher potential of becoming injured. So then, you know, running 10 miles a day at the beginning of your training, when you have a broken foot a week later, will be for nothing. You can high-five yourself about being on the leaderboard for a week, but then you're going to not be high-fiving yourself after that when you're in a boot. You know, think about if you do have extra time on your hands and that's why you're doing more running, think about other things that you could be doing with that time, like strength training, building on your core, those other muscles that are necessary and that want that strength as well. Pay attention to the rest of your body because that will definitely benefit you in the long run, both literally and figuratively. Remember, your body's an ant farm, okay? Don't neglect those ants and don't make all those ants work right now. You can't have a party to show off your ant farm right now because of the stay-at-home orders. So just chill out. Respect the ants. Respect the training.
The other reason, too, the training schedule, you know, if you are running more mileage now, the training schedules are written because we are at the beginning of a new phase of training as well. So if you are running a lot of mileage and you kind of want to follow the plan a little bit more closely, we highly suggest this is a great time to add strength and cross training pieces. If you add those pieces now and take out a little bit more running, when we get into the super long mileage, when we get more into the 16 to 20 milers, if you add that cross training now, you are going to feel so much stronger when those mileage points hit. So we do challenge a lot of people to start adding strength training if you haven't been doing it already. So that's another piece of advice if you're wondering, like, well, can I just get a higher mileage plan? It just depends on your situation. Of course, these plans, everybody's super individualized in what their training needs are. However, maybe having a higher mileage plan is not necessarily the answer. It might be that we can help you add other things that will complement your training.
Yeah. And you might be like, but I'm not training for Chicago. I'm training for Tokyo, or I'm training for Toronto, or I'm training for New York. What do I do?
So that's another frequently asked question. It's like, well, I wasn't training for Chicago in the first place. I'm training for these other races. That's fine. So the coaching staff, typically what we do in this program is that we will help you tweak that long run mileage so that it fits in closer to the event that you're doing. Typically, we help people with that so that it's closer or surrounding the date of Chicago. So the tweaks that we would typically help people make are marathons that are 3 weeks before Chicago to up to 5 weeks after the Chicago Marathon. So we definitely publish some add-ons that will help you sort of see what mileage that we would recommend on those weekends. We also can help you to make some smaller tweaks to your schedule during the week. However, what we don't do is major changes in your training program. That is something, especially more recently, as more races and events and things have kind of changed, is questions that we get a lot about just completely changing people's training program just based on what's going on and the type of coaching you need. And that's something that we will be rolling out soon so people can understand what type of coaching services that we can provide for you.
Yeah, but if it is just a simple schedule change, I know a frequently asked question that I've gotten is, I want to do my speed work on Thursday and I want to do my long run on Sunday. Well, that is a very simple modification that we can do. If you want to reach out to your coach and they can shift the days on Training Peaks, all we have to do is drag it over one day and whammo, it's done. If you're like, oh, I'm afraid of emailing my coach, I think that I'm afraid of them and they're a vampire. Well, first off, no one's a vampire that I know of. But secondly, you can also, if you're going by that PDF or you're going by Training Peaks and you get those emails, when you get an email on Monday that says, do a 5 mile easy run, save it for Tuesday. That's right. You can just, if you're not too worried about it showing up on the right time in Training Peaks, just swap it. One rule that we often go by for our training plans is you just want to have a 2-day cushion between your speed work and your long runs. So that's 2 days before or after either of those runs, because your body just needs time to recover from speed work and from those long run days. So yeah, that's the go-to rule if you are afraid to reach out to a coach, but also don't be afraid to reach out to a coach.
We're really friendly, we promise. Yeah. Building off that, one of the questions I do get about the long run and kind of shifting the days around, or we do have runs that are the day before our long run built into the training program. And people often ask me why would we run the day before my long run? Shouldn't that be a rest and recovery day so I can be fresh for my long run? So one of the things that I like to talk about a lot is running on tired legs. And that's what the training is also built to do. So we do have runs that are building to be, and they're in minutes. So, you know, it might be anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes that we would recommend the day before the long run. I mean, I think that builds across the season too, to being a little bit longer on Fridays, and your long run starts to build up too. The reason for that is that's part of teaching you how to train on tired legs. It's not just that long run that's teaching you that. It's sort of that 2 day in a row build up that will actually make the marathon feel a lot easier for you, especially when you get into that longer mileage. One of the swaps that you can do that I often coach people on is if it really, really works out better for your training and your experience to not do that run the day before, you can do that run the day after your long run. And we just kind of call it more of some recovery miles, but it will also give you that same effect of learning how to run on tired legs over a weekend time.
Yeah. I mean, learning how to run on tired legs is helpful, not just for the legs muscles, but it's also helpful for your confidence, because you're going to know then with those runs that, oh man, I can get through this having run all those miles the day before, or for that much time the day before. Plus, when you get to mile 25 of a marathon, you will have tired legs. So you're going to be thankful, and you're going to be like, thank you, coaches. Other questions that people ask, well, you have all of these runs, like a 60-minute easy run and a fartlek. What's that? That sounds weird. What's a half-mile repeat? Well, that sounds less weird, but what is it? Where are the descriptions of all of these workouts? And boy, do we have an answer for that. In the CES newsletter that you get once a week, you've gotten a participant guide. It's very beautiful. It's not just something for you to look at the cover of and like, look at those sweet pictures. However, you can look at the cover of the participant guide and say, look at those sweet pictures. But we encourage you to actually open it up. It is a treasure chest of knowledge that will help you along your marathon training experience. And there's all sorts of things in there, like the descriptions of each of the workouts. But Lori, where else can you find the descriptions of all of those workouts?
You can find that in the Training Peaks.
What?
Yes, it's very detailed. It's set out in a very, very nicely. The other place you can find out a little bit more about the descriptions of the workouts and what those workouts are and means, it's Cynthia and I's first Coach's Corner training podcast. Also, we go into a lot of detail about what each of those workouts mean and why they are lined up in your training program the way they are.
All right. Lori, once we do that 1 mile run, which I'm looking at the schedule and seeing we have a 1 mile run, what do we do with that? Why just run 1 mile? What up with that?
So we hold that 1 mile fitness run. Sometimes we'll call it a time trial or 1 mile fitness run. It is there to help you determine the training paces that you should be working with throughout the season that we would recommend. And what that does, and the reason why you do that throughout the year, is that just the type of shape that you're in may change throughout the year. It may be because you haven't been running, or it may be because you have gone through a cycle where you did a virtual race or your recent race and your body's in a recovery mode. So So it helps you determine, you know, over the next few weeks what is going to be most recommended. And it's the one pace that we really want you guys to focus on and make sure that you have got figured out is that long run training pace. What we find is several athletes do that long run training pace at a race pace every single week, and they will become injured and they will never recover their mileage. And then by the time they get the race day, their experience is not going to be as good as it can be. So that 1 mile training run, you do that, you go all out, and then you take that 1 mile time trial time and you plug it into the athlete's tools. There's a couple of different tools out there. The participant guide will actually guide you to another resource on Runner's World that'll help you determine those training paces.
Wow, we went over a lot of information there, Lori. I hope we've answered a lot of people's questions.
And we will review other frequently asked questions again. Again, these are just the type of training frequently asked questions that we get the first couple of weeks of summer. And as the training progresses and turns into different phases, there are other commonly asked questions that come up. So we will do this again and review all of those so we can give you a little bit more comprehensive information on the questions that are frequently asked.
Yeah, so now we're getting into our home stretch. And I've got a question for you, Lori. Gels or blocks?
For me, neither. But
what? Ooh, shocker.
Well, for the longest time, I was a block girl. But over time, my nutritional needs changed. And I discovered this lovely thing called UCAN. UCAN is a powdered drink. And what I do is I that's usually, especially while I'm racing, is what I drink slowly over the entire race. And I found I get a completely different type of energy from that. And we will have that training partner actually talk about what that is. But UCAN and other types of drinks like that are something that has become more popular over time. It used to be that there was only gels or blocks. But now there's different types of nutritional aids just like that.
Let me tell you, I used to do none of it. I think it was my third marathon and I wasn't feeling great. I didn't know that I'd gotten a virus on my plane ride to California. I did the Malibu marathon. Well, the Malibu marathon did me, let's put it that way. The day before the race, I wasn't able to keep any food down. I'm like, I must be nervous. And this is a new way of my body telling me I'm nervous. No, I had a virus, but I didn't listen. And around mile 16, somebody gave me some blocks. They're like, this will help you, girl. And then around mile 18 is where I got picked up by an ambulance. Those blocks just came right back up. And so I can't even look at blocks. They just, my body won't forget. And then being kind of a health nut, I was like, I only want to put things in my body that I know exactly what the ingredients are. So I started making my own goos and gels out of dates and sea salt and coconut oil. And let me tell you, they work great, but it also is a lot of work up front. And, you know, it's tricky to be doing all of that. And there was one long run I went on, I think it was in January when I was training for Boston, and the only thing there was Gatorade gels, and I was like, well, let's give this a shot. And let me tell you, Gatorade knows what they're doing, it turns out. It worked wonders. I felt like it was the beginning of my run, and I was already 10 miles in. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Gatorade gels.
So to wrap it up, I'm curious, Coach Cynthia, what are you looking forward to the next week?
Yeah, well, in this next week, the weather is promising to have some rain tomorrow and Wednesday, and I love running in the rain because it means running where other people aren't. So if you live in the Chicagoland area, get yourself ready to run in some rain because I'm really feeling that right now. What are you looking forward to, Laurie?
Well, I have to go back to work tomorrow, which I'm I'm a little sad about. I was kind of starting to get in a good routine working from home and figuring that out. But one of the reasons I'm actually very excited about it is most of the mileage I had been running previously, and I figured out why I was able to fit it into my life, is because I would run commute home. So this means the next 3 days I get to run commute home.
Yay!
Yay!
It's those little things that count.
Right. Well, I thank everybody for listening. We look forward to training with you and hearing from everybody on Strava, on our Facebook page. We encourage everybody to use all the resources that we have. We have a couple of other podcasts that we've put out, so if you haven't listened to those yet, please do. And then we leave you with happy training, everybody.
Yeah, happy training.